Welcome back to Three Putt Par. My name is Mike Caridi and I'm your host. This is episode number 34. I know some of you probably think this episode is late, but for me, I'm actually 2 hours earlier than normal. I do like to get this recorded and out on a Monday night around 8 p.m., but I did not get that done Melbourne time, but I am well and truly ahead of that, being that I'm actually in Houston, Texas at the moment, and it's only 4 o'clock in the afternoon. 4 to 5 in the afternoon. So, you know, by my standards, we're still going okay. I am in Houston. It is the Houston Open this week, which I'm, it's going to be my first PGA Tour event that I'm getting to, which I'm pretty excited about. It's great to see Scottie Scheffler, Wyndham Clark, Tony Finau, some of the big names showing up for me, which is really nice. I was always a big gamble coming to an event only a handful of weeks before the Masters who would turn up, but it's a really good little feel, which I'm quite happy with. At least the top end is anyway. So that's worked out quite well. I am traveling a bit at the moment. For those of you that listened last week, I was obviously in New Zealand having a fantastic time at TRI and Tara Iti. I did go home for 2 whole days and then it was straight back on the plane to actually flew over to Miami. So I've been in Miami. For those of you that don't know me and just know me from listening to this, I was over in Miami listening to Drake playing concert with Lil Wayne. So that was last night's events, which was a very, very good night, which is why my voice probably sounds a little bit croakier than normal because the next day, being this morning, I got up bright and early and flew to Houston. So on the ground in Houston, the weather's nice, shorts and a t-shirt, threatening with a little bit of drizzle, but it doesn't look like it's going to get there. And the rest of this week is looking like being mid-20s up to around 30 degrees Celsius. So no drastic winds. Perfect week for golf for this week's Houston Open. But before we do get on to talking too much more about this week's event, probably have a chance to have a quick chat about last week's event. First thing I want to say about this last week's event is congratulations, obviously, to Peter Malnati, the one that... one that wears the goofy hat or the bucket hat that most people would probably know him for, being always happy all the time at the Valspar this week. His first win in probably close to 10 years, I would have thought. I've actually, like a lot of you, listened to No Laying Up for a long time and heard all their coverage takes. The first week that I've really sat down in the US and watched golf on TV. And it is quite weird being an Australian and having very different experience, we'll call it. So the first thing I'll back them up with is that the playing through stuff is just weird. It's either go to a commercial or don't go to a commercial. Exactly what happened on Sunday was as expected. You're kind of seeing the scenery and footage of the tournament going on one side of the screen and an ad with the sound for the ad on the other side. So, you know, I think it was Mac Hughes or someone made a massive bomb putt. I can see it, can't hear it, can't feel any energy by it. I just don't know why they wouldn't just, hey, go to commercial. Show us when you come back from commercial. I'm going to get a lot more out of it than not being able to really listen to it. I don't think seeing it in real time is that much more beneficial. So that's my first take. No, not a really hot take there. I know that the guys have talked about it for a long time. The other part that I find really weird being from Australia is we obviously turn on the TV and watch one channel. We watch the golf. But what you'll notice over at home is we obviously have feature groups in the morning and it switches over to the main coverage. So here that's effectively the golf channel. So you've got the golf channel in the morning up until whatever time that, you know, the leaders are going out, then they flick over to, I can't remember what it was, CBS or whatever it was. So you're kind of flicking between two channels. So I was watching the golf channel thinking I'd just continue on watching the golf. And lo and behold, I was watching the LPGA for about half an hour before I realized, oh, that's right. I was watching the PGA trying to flick back to that other channel and somewhere else I need to find. So it is very different. Not sure that it's better. Probably a lot more coverage to watch, I guess. But yeah, it was a very interesting week for me, at least anyway, being immersed in that sort of coverage. But congrats to Peter Malnati. It was certainly one that I don't think anyone saw coming. I did look up his odds just before I started recording. He was about 500-1 on Betfair when I put the odds out. He rated about, it was 55th in my data of 150. So yeah, look, I don't think anyone would have had a dollar on him this week. There probably would have been a few disappointed people on Cameron Young, but Cameron Young was runner up and kind of did what Cameron Young does. I don't know what it is about him. He just doesn't seem to be able to close the door. I do think he's probably one of those players that I always think about putting a line through whenever I'm going to have a bet, except for around the majors. Feel like this is something that I'm going to have come up again come Masters time in a few weeks time, where I'm going to be looking at Cameron Young and trying to talk myself out of putting some money on him. But he did have a really good second, didn't quite get things going as well as Malnati did on that final day. The bogey on the last obviously did exacerbate it a little bit for him, but look, it wasn't like I felt like he was ever really going to threaten, even though probably most people in the coverage was doing it, because Malnati was doing the opposite to what Cameron Young had done. Instead of having that bogey on 18, Malnati's had a pretty rock solid back nine, four under, but just didn't make any mistakes, which is all you want to see from someone you've invested in, especially, I think, well, if you did invest in him at 500-1, you've done well. But either way, I think anyone that was kind of concerned that he might give it away, he looked fired up, he was playing well. Just, I think I said, not making any mistakes was key. Top three rounded out Chandler Phillips and Mac Hughes. Xander Schauffele, stock standard 65 round four. Got me $50 lighter in Mike versus the mug, and just standard Xander. Like, came into the event red hot favorite, was nowhere near it for 3 days. Plays exceptionally in the last round, finishes the top five. It's just the epitome definition of a backdoor top five there for Xander Schauffele. The only other one I want to mention from this event, and he'll be one that I'll be keeping an eye on the next couple of weeks, but something in my gut is telling me to keep an eye on Christian Bezuidenhout for the Masters. I don't know why. I've seen him flash a little bit of form, T9 this week. Feel like he might be playing some good golf. South Africans tend to have a pretty good tendency of playing well at Augusta. So I'll be making a little mental note there. So for anyone that's having a look at the early odds for the Masters, he might be one to have a look at. I do want to say, if you are looking at early odds for the Masters, don't go crazy. They do fluctuate dramatically, and unless you're betting someone right at the top end, you're going to get reasonable odds or great odds come the event anyway, because enough money jumps into the pool that there's always going to be someone out there that's going to offer you a better number. That's really all I had to say for the Valspar this week. It probably wasn't a massive event. Peter Minardi was as an interesting winner, probably not a great winner, but good luck to him. I think it's really good seeing someone that's happy, cheerful, and just super excited to be getting now a spot in the Masters, which is when you see someone that talks about things like not playing a practice round there, had been invited to go there historically, never did it, never even went there as a kid. I think he got an invite to go and watch and didn't even go. So he's one of those guys that said, no, I'll do it when I get there, when I get the invite. And now he's got the invite, or he will be getting the invite. So good luck to him there. The other big event this week was the LPGA. So the LPGA, well, it was for me anyway, because it was probably the one that I watched the most of. Nelly Korda won in a playoff versus Ryan O'Toole. Nelly was nowhere to be seen, or not nowhere to be seen, actually. She was probably looking exceptional through the 14th hole, got up to about 11 under, and then went bogey, birdie, par, a bogey, bogey to finish. So a couple over in her last four holes, back to nine, and looked like she'd sort of got a little bit too close to the sun and was going to give it all away, whereas Ryan O'Toole was the opposite. Final four holes, she was two under and got to nine. The reason I was heavily invested in it and watching, probably like a lot of you if you were, was Gabby Ruffles. So the Aussie Gabby Ruffles was leading early into the final round and looked like she was going to knock over a couple of really big names and take her first win on the LPGA Tour. And then she threw in a double on nine. And I just happened to be watching the scores tick over at that time and saw the double come in and her fall backwards and then another bogey on 11. And I was like, oh no, she's going to blow right out here. But she didn't. She knuckled down and birdied two of her last four. Actually nearly got into the playoff as well, which would have been great to see. But in the end, Nelly was too strong again. I think Nelly came into the event favorite. A little bit like, probably a little bit like Xander's finish, but she actually got the chocolates. She came home quite well that final round and did what she had to do to get there. So skipping on to this week, the big event, obviously for me at least, hopefully for you, is the Houston Open. So it is in Houston, obviously, Memorial Park Golf Course. We're in the Longhorn State, so it's the first event out of Florida in what feels like 6 months. I feel like we've been playing golf in Florida forever. It feels like 5 or 6 weeks in a row we've been down there. Long history, but hasn't been, the event's been around forever, but they just haven't played here. So I came here in 2022. And with the shifting in the calendars from coming back to that, finishing up early and not really starting the season until January, it wasn't actually held when that reshuffle in 2023. So it's going to be one where there's not a lot of course history here. So you're really going to be probably more looking at people on how they've traveled coming in. The course was originally a 9-hole course, but built in 1912, and then it was turned into an 18-holer in 1936. Tom Doak did a complete reno in 2019, and then it opened up in November, and then they kicked off down here. It was a year or so later for this event. Last year, it was when Tony Finau was on a little hot streak. So Tony Finau beat the field by 4 shots, 16 under, so well and truly clobbered them. Players that have played well here, I thought it was quite interesting. Well, not here at the tournament, but at least here in Houston. It's an absolute live portfolio. Winners of the Houston Open: Jason Kokrak, Carlos Ortiz, Ian Poulter, Matt Jones, Phil Mickelson, Paul Casey, and Anthony Kim. It's almost like they've gone and got the winners of the Houston Open and said, let's get those guys to live, because it was actually quite surprising when I ran my eyes down the list of previous winners of the Houston Open, how many had gone to live. The winning score here, look, last year it was 16. Again, not a lot of history. I'm going to be thinking it'd be around that 15 or 16 again. It is got some, we'll say, some higher quality players than we had last year. So Scottie Scheffler and Wyndham Clark, probably two of the best players in the world at the moment. Well, Scottie definitely is. But Wyndham's got to be top couple the way he's playing. So who knows? They might go a little bit deeper than that. What stats am I looking at? So an over index here from those longer shots. So I will want someone that's longer, hitting better irons into greens from longer distances, as well as longer off the tee. Strokes gained off the tee is important, but I want the length, and I want the accuracy. I obviously want someone that putts well, which is obviously the hardest part to figure out, but probably the most important stat. A little bit around the green, as well as strokes gained tee to green. So maybe a little bit of ball striking on top, but I'm really going to probably be leaning for someone with a little bit of distance. When it comes to the odds, so we are running off the numbers from Bet365 because they are the only ones up at the moment. So Scottie Scheffler is your favorite, 11 to 4, and then Wyndham Clark down at 12. So Scottie is the red hot favorite. Will Zalatoris is there at $18. Sahith Theegala at 20. Tony Finau 22, Jason Day 25, Siwoo Kim 30, Alex Noren 33, Keith Mitchell 40, Stefan Jaeger 40, Bo Hosler 50. Yeah, very short, Scotty. Obviously going for three in a row. Is that going to be something I'll be reaching into my pocket to invest in? Probably not. I'd much prefer to have a few little bets on players around that aren't quite obviously as short as Scotty, but have enough form here that I would say they'll have a chance, and I prefer the odds. So looking at a couple of those players, I'll start with Scotty just because I know that a lot of people are going to be liking Scotty this week. My ideas for someone like Scotty Scheffler this week is, if you truly like him this week, and I can't make an argument for you not to, he's won his last two, is put him in a multi with something else. Find another event that you like, find a horse, find a footy game. Add an extra, $1.50 onto his price, get him up to nearly tens. You're probably going to be getting a little bit more value there. So obviously won the Players, he won the Arnold Palmer, 10th at the Genesis, exceptional form coming in. Was 9th here last year and 2nd the year before. So there's nothing there that you would hate. In my data, funnily enough, obviously the data pulls in stats specifically. He still ranks top 8, which is no surprise. He's exceptional. The putting's still the part that drags him down, even though we know that he's been putting a lot better than before. Above him, Wyndham Clark, so 16th here last year, 2nd at the Players, 2nd at the API. So really wants to clip Scotty this week to make up for the two runner-up finishes to him, I would have thought. Maybe he's the way to go. You're going to get a much better price. He's clearly playing just as well, but not quite enough to get that win. I'm sure he'll be in a lot of people's picks coming Friday afternoon. Keith Mitchell, Killer Keith. Killer Keith was the man on Sunday morning that I thought I was going to have to put on the list with Hideki Matsuyama and Tyrrell Hatton as the list that never gets bet on a game, because I was very, very heavily invested in Keith to win the players, and he didn't do very well at all. And then when he came into that final round playing exceptionally well, I got very, very nervous. So his form obviously has been great. 19th at Mexico, Cognizant or the old Honda 9, 73rd at the Players, which was a terrible performance from him. And then the Valspar last week, he fell away to the 17th. So he did fall away quite poorly. He was quite poorly is probably an understatement. I don't think he'd keep his driver on the planet. And he was missing putts. So there's nothing quite going well there for Keith. But if you do like him, he's obviously still played quite well, except for that final round at Valspar and the Players. And he did play well here last year, finishing ninth. So again, if you like him, I can't really talk you out of it. The one I'm probably going to have on top is the guy that rates number two in my data. I think he was about third or fourth in the market around that 20s, is Sahith Theegala. So Heath is finished 22nd here last year, ninth at the Players, sixth at the API. So playing as good as he's played before, played here before and played well, top 20, 20 enough, 22s. I don't mind him at all to maybe pinch something that. If there's any chance that Wyndham and Scotty have got their eyes on Augusta and aren't super concentrating or right invested into this week, maybe Sir Heath can pinch it. Not sure. But he's probably the one I'm going to have on top this week, Sir Heath. Two other ones that I'll talk to a little bit out of the market or price-wise anyway. The first one's Andrew Novak. So Andrew Novak hasn't played here before, but he's still putting up some great numbers on the PGA Tour. 17th at the Valspar. Did miss the cut at the Players, but he was ninth at Cognizant and eighth in Mexico. So Mexico and Cognizant results aren't exceptional, but they're not horrendous. I mean, top 10 anywhere, even with a weaker field, is always a good result. So he actually rates on top in my data from the stats. So he's the one when I look at those numbers that every single stat that I draw in that I want to see this week, he ranks right at the top. Another one's Alex Noren. So Alex Noren was fourth here last year. 19th at the Players, ninth at the Cognizant. So again, a guy that, you know, probably isn't going to be on the top of anybody's mind, but does rate quite well. He rates 16th overall. He does everything quite well. The only part that he struggles with versus the PGA Tour is his driving distance. So he ranks 137th in driving distance. So each of these guys is got something that's always drawing them down versus the numbers that I'm looking in, and that's what sort of sifts out the field. So if I look at someone like Noren, great across the board, you know, really above tour average at most everything I'm looking at except for driving distance. If I look at Scottie Scheffler, he's obviously elite. He's, if not the best, top 10-ish in nearly every stat I'm looking at. But when it comes to his strokes gained approach from 250 to 275, he's ranked around 100th this year. And in putting, he's up to about 94th, which is still obviously below where you want to see him. But look at Wyndham. Wyndham's deficiency is around that strokes gained approach from 250 plus as well. He's sitting just above 100. And then if I look at Sahith Theegala, he's around the green number is the one where he is deficient. So it's about 100th as well. So when you're pulling in those numbers, yep, they look good in, say, off the tee and putting, but then they might have a difference that drags them down. That's how I effectively rate the field. I basically put a percentage of what I think each stat is worth out of 100, and that sort of then filters it out again, and that's where I get the rankings from. Then I overlay with those form coming in and form at this event. But overall, it'll be one where I wouldn't be shocked to see someone like Scotty go away and win it. But at the same time, I wouldn't be shocked to see someone like Alex Noren or Sahith Theegala from that middle of the road price get up and win it. Apologies again for a solo show. It has been difficult to get the shows together, as you can imagine, on the road. Next week's will be live from New York, getting ready for San Antonio. And yeah, it'll be probably just me again, depending on who comes back to me. But I will be trying to get some people in for a few other events coming up before the Masters. Speaking of the Masters, before I forget, the competition is still there. We've only had one round of the five rounds in the one and done competition. So if you have got any friends that want to join in, get them to jump into Teepsta and find the three putt par competition. It's free to enter, even if they don't think they can win because they didn't pick Scottie Scheffler at the Players. It doesn't matter. If they're in, they by the time the event finishes, as in for the Open Championship at the end of the season, they still go into the draw for another prize. Literally just put your name in and go from there, and you can't go wrong. I will be obviously putting some reminders out for all of you to make sure you get your tips in, because even though a few people that did sign up before the players, they did forget to put their tips in on the players. That's it for this week. Really, really good luck to everybody. Really big week for me, obviously running around, but also one that I'm hoping to get the most out of. Keep an eye on socials. You'll be seeing lots and lots of photos. If you've got any players you want me to go and have a look at, video some swings and put them up on the socials, please just flick me a note. I'll make sure to get around. I'll be definitely going out to try and annoy Foxy, Jason Day, some of the ANZ players. So if you've got anyone else you want me to follow that isn't Scotty Scheffler or Wyndham Clark, that's probably the harder guys to get closer to, please just send us a note and I'll do what I can. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. And if you are having a bet, make sure you're doing it responsibly. Cheers.